Welcome to this podcast, which is based on one of many blog posts written by Stan Berman. Mr. Berman is an entrepreneur and freelance paralegal that has worked in California and federal litigation since 1995, and has also created over 300 sample legal documents for California and federal litigation as the owner and creator of Legal Docs Pro. This podcast is designed to offer free legal information in order to empower both the public at large, as well as attorneys and other legal professionals, by assisting them in expanding their legal knowledge. However, you need to keep in mind that the information contained in this podcast is intended for legal information only and should not be taken as legal advice. We know that you will find the legal information in this podcast to be both interesting and informative. Filing an answer to an unlawful detainer, eviction, or UD complaint in California is the topic of this blog post. Specific affirmative defenses will not be outlined in this post, but will be discussed in more detail in a later post. Once a tenant has been properly served with a summons and complaint, they generally have 5 calendar days to file their answer with the court and serve a copy on the plaintiff or their attorney. Failure to file and serve an answer on time will result in a default being entered against the defendant or defendants. The landlord can then obtain a judgment for possession of the premises very quickly, usually within a few days at most. Therefore, it is vital for a tenant served with an unlawful detainer summons and complaint to answer or otherwise respond within the very short time allowed. In general, the tenant's response is due within 5 calendar days after service of the unlawful detainer summons and complaint. The 5-day period includes Saturdays and Sundays, but excludes other court holidays. However, if the 5th day falls on a Saturday or Sunday, the response deadline is extended to the next court day. However, if the summons and complaint was not personally served, but instead was served by substituted service, meaning a copy was given to someone else residing at the premises, and another copy was mailed to the tenant, or an order to post and mail known as nail and mail was issued by the court, then the response time is extended to 15 calendar days, again, if the last day to answer falls on a Saturday or Sunday, or a court holiday, the deadline is extended to the next court day. Thus, an answer to the unlawful detainer complaint must be filed within this 5-day period, unless, before expiration of the 5 days, the tenant has filed some other authorized responsive pleading that temporarily excuses the duty to answer, such as a motion to quash, demurrer, motion to strike, etc. The filing of a motion to quash, demurrer, motion to strike, or other legally authorized pre-answer responsive pleading extends defendant's time to answer the complaint. But the pre-answer pleading must itself have been filed within the 5-day answer period, unless a stipulated or court-granted extension of time has been granted. Where good cause is shown, such as time needed to obtain filing fees, etc., the court may grant defendant an extension of time to respond. Like any pre-answer response, application for an extension of time to plead must itself be made within the 5-day answer period. As soon as the 5 days are up, plaintiff is entitled to obtain a default entry beating out defendant's subsequently filed application for extension of time. Any extension of time that was granted after the time to answer had expired may be ignored and a default entered. An application for an extension of time may be made ex parte. A formal notice motion is not required as the narrow 5-day window period does not allow time for a notice motion under normal procedures. But some form of informal notice must be given to plaintiff, and defendant's written application must advise the court of the nature of the case and what extensions, if any, have previously been granted, whether by court order or the stipulation of the parties. Normally, a party seeking an ex parte order in a civil case must notify all parties no later than 10 a.m., the court day before the ex parte appearance, absence a showing of exceptional circumstances justifying shorter notice. In unlawful detainer proceedings, however, an ex parte applicant may give shorter notice, provided that the notice given is reasonable. See California Rule of Court 3.1203. The ex parte application must be accompanied by a declaration stating either 1. That notice was given, including the date, time, manner, and name of the party informed, the relief sought, whether opposition is expected, and that the applicant informed the opposing party where and when the application would be made. Or, 2i, that a good faith attempt to inform the opposing party was made, but the applicant was unable to do so, specifying errors made. Or 3, why notice should not be required. If the notice in a UD proceeding was provided later than 10 a.m., the court date before the ex parte appearance, the declaration must state why the notice given was reasonable. See California Rule of Court 3.1204C. The maximum extension is ordinarily 10 days, unless plaintiff consents to a longer time or the court otherwise orders for good cause shown. The parties may stipulate to an extension of time for any reason, but a court-ordered extension will lie only for good cause shown. Since eviction actions are supposed to be summary, speedy proceedings, courts tend to be quite restrictive in granting extensions of time. A first-round extension is likely to be granted, good cause found, only on allegation that no prior extensions have been granted, by court or on party stipulation, and that 1. Defendant needs more time to locate an attorney to represent him or her, or to acquire the requisite filing fees, or 2. A consulted attorney needs more time to evaluate the case to determine whether to accept representation of defendant. Any further extensions of time are uniformly disfavored in UD proceedings. Defendant's answer must be verified just as the UD complaint must be verified. Note that while all answering defendants must sign the answer, only one answering defendant needs to verify the answer. An unverified answer is subject to a motion to strike in its entirety, but the motion must be made within 10 days after service of the answer. The function of the answer is to put the case at issue as to all material allegations in the complaint. Therefore, as with any answer to a civil complaint, the unlawful detainer answer should set forth whatever denials and/or affirmative defenses are necessary to controvert the landlord's material allegations. All material allegations of the complaint that a defendant does not intend to admit must be effectively denied. If they are not denied, then they are automatically deemed to be admitted. Defendant should respond specifically to each and every paragraph in the unlawful detainer complaint by admitting, denying, admitting portions and denying portions, or denying on the basis of lack of information or belief upon which to admit or deny. As with general civil litigation, defendant's answer should allege applicable affirmative defenses that are not put in issue under a simple denial commonly referred to as new matter. As a general rule, whatever the defendant tenant bears the burden of proving at trial is new matter, and thus is an issue only if specifically pleaded in the answer. It needs to be stressed that allowable affirmative defenses are very limited. Only issues directly relevant to the ultimate question of possession, and which, if established, would result in the tenant's right to retain possession, may be asserted in defense to an unlawful detainer. The defendant, tenant, bears the burden of pleading all essential elements of the affirmative defense or defenses raised, which means that the defenses pleaded must be supported by factual allegations. However, this simply requires meaningful notice to the landlord of the scope and extent of the affirmative defenses. No detailed evidentiary facts are required. We hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast and found the legal information both useful and relevant. Thank you for listening, and we sincerely hope that you will check out the other podcasts based on the blog posts of Stan Berman, available on a wide variety of California legal topics. If you would like more information on purchasing individual sample documents created and sold by Stan Berman, please visit www.scribd.com/legaldocspro. If you would like more information on sample legal document packages created and sold by Stan Berman, please visit www.legaldocspro.net. If you would like to view the blog for Stan Berman, please visit www.legaldocspro.net/blog.